Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
New hitting coach coming in to see if that can inspire some of this lack of hitting in clutch situations, and your best player, your alleged best player, hitting way under 200 after a month of the season looking completely lost. I mean, it's almost impossible how bad Francisco Lindor has been. And then the positive with the New York Knicks, who are doing everything we're asking of them, every single thing. Win that last game before the road trip. You do that. Win the first two of the road trip before you face those four tough teams coming up, starting with Denver. They end up doing that. They overcome adversity, losing Nerlens Noel, and then making sure they don't skip a beat. Defensively, they're still great. Julius Randle's unbelievable. Derrick Rose is as good as I've seen him since his MVP season all those years ago before his injuries. And right now, and the expectations have changed for them. At this point, you know, if they don't win a round, I'm going to be disappointed because they're that good. So that's a positive. They seem to save the day most of the time when we're yelling and screaming about some other team in town. And right now the Knicks are, I mean, they're the most fun story in New York sports as it stands here today in early May.
Without question, man. Without question. They are exciting everybody. You know, the thing is, we want them to come through these next four games still standing. You know what I mean? Don't want them to get blown out anywhere. They won't, because they play defense. They play tough. You know, the one thing about Derrick Rose that I will say, he may have been better at one point in time physically, because he obviously was the MVP of the league. We all know that. But what I'm seeing from Derrick Rose now is where it all comes together, where you still have enough left physically to do what you can do, but you also see the court better. You feel your teammates better in a sense of what's happening around you, and you don't have to be the man. Like, he's not the man now. He's the guy that Julius Randle's the man.
You the man?
Right. You don't have to be the man.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And I see a veteran, savvy player who's matured into a team leader and somebody who calms everybody down when he gets on the court.
Sure.
So when you win, I mean, and you win the way that they are winning, I mean, it's great because it's unexpected. And they're doing it with a combination of players. Most of the players are players who are veterans that have been through the wars before. And then you have the young players like Quickley and RJ Barrett that are doing their thing. So it just feels good. I don't know what the future will hold. They'll have to get somebody else in here with this group. But it's been a really nice, unexpected surprise.
So if they ended up losing in the first round of the postseason,
be disappointing.
It would be now.
Yes.
Where it used to be, get in there. I can't believe they made the playoffs. I mean, at this point, they should be, if they end up with a four seed, they should be favored to win the series.
Yeah, you would hope so. The only thing about Derrick Rose right now is that when he's playing as a younger point guard, it's a little tough for him to stay with that guy.
Well, yeah.
Which is understandable. Mm-hmm. That's understandable. But when he has the ball, how he's, like last night, his shooting was great. And they're not always going to shoot like that, as we know. But what he also is doing is, like I said, he's calming everybody down. And he's getting the ball into the hands of the open player on top of shooting well. Yeah. So I just hope he stays healthy. He's got some tough games coming up now, these next four, all of them do, especially him at his position against these teams. And, you know, man, if they came away 2-2 or 3-1, that would be unbelievable.
Well, out of the next four, I mean, at this point, I think I would sign for 1-3. I would. As much as confidence as I have in them, I would sign for just getting that one win. And then, because then you're guaranteed 3-3 on the trip, which is what I wanted to begin with.
True.
So
but now though.
But now you're getting greedy.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes.
I know. I understand.
Yes, which is good. Keep surprising us, man.
Yeah, sure. That is the thing to me that it's I keep feeling like the sky is the limit for them. Like I keep every time I watch them, and if they end up, you know, with these whatever cliche you want to give, barometer, litmus test, whatever it may be, litmus in these test. in these next four games, you know, measuring stick, all of that. If they come out of those games, and let's say they just sweep the rest of the road trip, it's right. possible. Then what? Then what do you say? I mean, you say that this team's capable of going to the NBA Finals. Now, I don't really believe that right now, but why not? They keep surprising us. They keep raising the bar. They keep getting better. I mean, they've guaranteed a winning season. They're a season high at this point, 9 games over .500. So why not keep getting better? Why not beat everybody? I mean, they seem hungrier than half the NBA, don't they?
That's half the battle.
More than half, but probably 75% of the NBA.
If you can get your team to buy into what you're selling, which Tom Thibodeau has done, and he's done it because he's also brought in players he's familiar with.
Yeah, and another great sign of what he's doing, it doesn't really, they don't skip a beat. You know, Mitchell Robinson goes out, Nerlens Noel steps in. Nerlens Noel is out, Norvell Pell steps in last night with a bunch of blocks. Doesn't matter, you know, and hopefully Alec Burks comes back and isn't injured again, but he's had a little bit of a rough go of it. But it's just all these guys are contributing. It's incredible. Let's go to Anthony in Queens, who joins us. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. Boom. I got to ask you, why are you taking a shot at Panarin?
How did I take a shot at that? He's 5'10", 170 pounds, and he's a fly, and he's thrown himself into Tom Wilson like a lunatic?
But you said that Ovechkin and Crosby wouldn't let that happen. How is
they wouldn't, because they're so much bigger and stronger than he is. He's not that type of player. He's not that type of player. He doesn't need to be messing around with Tom Wilson.
Did you let Bruce Smith just throw you around and knock you out that time, or did he do it on his own?
Well, of course he did it on his own, and he did it illegally because he was offside, you dope.
Well, I think this is – but don't you give him – so he jumped on Tom Wilson's back after he saw Wilson punch Bruce Nevis in the face.
I know, he's trying to get him.
What do you want
him
to do, skate away? Like, I don't know. That's the tough part about it. I mean,
the problem is like the Rangers don't have anybody. Maybe Brendan Smith, but he had his head up his keister last night for whatever reason. And, you know, the last thing he needs is to go get into a fight. He probably wasn't even on the ice.
But that's not Panarin's fault. I mean, Panarin's seen his teammate get punched defenseless on the ice, and he tries to stop the guy, and then he ends up getting it himself.
Al, I have a hockey stick in my office. I want you to bring it in, and I want you to, like, try to run into me with that hockey stick, because it'd be like, you could be Panarin, and I'll be Tom Wilson, and we'll see what happens.
But I think everybody understands that.
I don't want to be Panarin in that situation.
Why not?
Because that's how I'll get killed.
But you're being a little bit talking out of both sides of the mouth, because you want your team to step up
not
and do something, but then when somebody does,
yeah,
then you get
him
on him for that.
He's 5'10", 100. Now he's out for the season, too. He just got ragdolled.
Well, I mean, all right. But that's not Panarin's fault that he's stepping up and trying to do something. I think that shows a little bit of balls.
Yeah, he did the right thing. He tried. He tried to stand up for his teammate.
I mean, if you saw him completely bail
really,
in that
the
spot.
The people that need to be held accountable for this is the people that are putting the team together.
Okay.
Like, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, do you have anybody out there that is, or do you have three people out there that you could put out there and say, you know what, back in the day, John Tortorella would have those guys. You know, you'd say, okay, you want to play that way? We're going to play that way.
Well, now I think we're getting to the root of the issue.
You know, it's all like ice capades now.
So you still need that kind of player in today's NHL.
You got to have a gritty group of guys somewhere along this team. And you could say whatever you want about how pretty Adam Fox is or Zach Jones is and how great, you know, Andre Miller is going to be and Lafreniere and Kako and Hedel who can't finish. I mean, you could all these guys are great.
Yeah.
You know, but where is the absolute animal intensity that you need to win in this league?
And there's also grit and then dirty players.
I call it animal intensity. You got to have it like it's got to be all in all the time.
And you don't need guys like Tom Wilson doing dirty stuff. You just need guys that are tough on the fourth line that are...
Like your son-in-law.
Yeah, need guys like that.
I need somebody that's going to go after a guy like Tom Wilson when he pulls that crap
last night. Or be out on the ice so Tom Wilson doesn't do something like that, because Tom Wilson doesn't want to deal with that.
Well, yeah, because he's running around, you know, in the Rangers, you know, in Madison Square. And then on top of all of that, he scores an empty net goal at the end of the game. Now he's high-fiving his teammates.
It's pretty
idiotic.
Bad.
Absolutely idiotic.
I thought he left the ice, though, after that. He ended up coming back?
Yeah, he had a 10-minute misconduct.
Oh, I thought he was done.
The referees are idiots, too. They should have given him a game misconduct.
I mean, that's pretty bad. Yeah, that's why it scares me that the NHL will just be soft with the suspension. I've seen it before. I've seen it before with them, where they like they it's like a little bit of a message. Like, oh, you know, six games or one playoff series or something.
A little bit of a message?
They better not.
How many more messages you have to send a Rockhead?
Listen, I know, but that's my point.
Here's the problem. You know,
I'm not saying that's what they should do. I'm just worried that's what they will do. It keeps doing it. You think about it. This is suspended five times. He's suspended seven games earlier this year. He's still doing it. Think he's afraid of the NHL discipline? No. So when are they going to come down hard enough on him where he actually thinks about it? When's that going to happen? Is it going to be now? Or are they going to continue to half-ass it? That's the point. Of course they should suspend him for the rest of the year. He shouldn't play again this year. But do they have the guts to do that to a team that's had a lot of success this year? Do they?
They should. Gary Bettman needs to say enough is enough. How many times are we going to suspend somebody for their actions on the ice? How many? What is enough?
Well, that's really the question for them.
That's kind of like what's going on everywhere. Like, when is enough enough? When do we finally say, okay, you've crossed the line way too many times?
Yeah.
And you know what? Your ass is going to get, you know, in trouble.
No extrapolation here. You're starting to extrapolate.
I'm not extrapolating.
From hockey, down that dark path.
He is five times suspended, and he has been suspended for seven games this year. When is enough enough?
Now. This is it. This is the time.
Holy crap.
Out for the rest of the year, out for the postseason. I just hope that's what they do. That's all. I just hope that's what they do. And if it's not now, then you're right. It's when. When he cracks somebody's neck on the ice and they don't get up. Is that when they need to see a fatality? Is that when it ends?
I don't know.
Just crazy. Tim, Long Hill, New Jersey. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how are you, Gio?
Hey, man. What do you got?
Hey, I wanted to touch base. I think you're spot on with the comments on Panarin. You know, I believe that, you know, I know Boomer's thoughts, you know, with it, but, you know, Panarin was doing what he should do, no matter what he is, you know, size-wise or whatever, toughness-wise. You know, he's got to protect his teammates.
Yeah, I think that Boomer's got, if I could diagnose my partner, he's got a little bit of misplaced anger is what's going on right now. I think that he's angry at the organization for not having a player that could take care of this stuff, and then Panarin gets himself in the mix and puts his career in jeopardy, essentially, against a crazed man.
That's the second time this year Panarin's career has been in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Once by Putin, and now this.
Yeah.
Two bullies.
Yeah, right. Two big bullies, Putin and Wilson. That's what it is. I mean, and to me, Panarin stepping up in that spot, defending his teammate, I thought was the right thing to do, but it really shouldn't have to be him.
That's right.
That's the crux of the issue. If there was someone else out there taking care of that stuff, then Panarin wouldn't feel the need to do that.
So, but here's the thing. You know, Wilson is wrong 50 times over, and I'll never change my mind over that. And, you know, even Micheletti said, you know, he's the kind of guy that you'd like to have on your team. He may put his team in jeopardy now because the NHL should suspend him, definitely should suspend him. And not for the last three games of the year. They're already in the playoffs. It has to be deeper than that. It has to cut deeper than that. And, you know, he's on their first line.
You know, he's assistant captain, right?
Right. And he's a guy, well, they probably gave him the A because, you know, look, we want you to.
For A-hole?
Well, hopefully mature a little bit and realize that you do have responsibilities to your team.
Yeah, how'd that work out? I mean, he's working on his second suspension at this point of the season, a shortened season.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
He did the movie, and the movie became a smash. So they re-released it. And this time he'd already signed up for 5, so he called it 4. The second time he really released it, then they made 5, then they made 6. Then they came back and went earlier in time, went 1, 2, 3. Now they go 7 because he's older. That's the idea. So that's where the whole thing comes from.
Have you gone to a Star Wars movie in costume, Eddie?
I have not.
You haven't? Okay. Have you worn a costume while watching a Star Wars movie in your home?
No.
Okay, so you're not that crazy.
No, but I do go to cons. I have been to conventions,
been to Comic-Con.
But not in costume.
You ever role play?
Like no.
No, you don't do that either. Wow. All right. I thought there'd be a little more weirdness going on there, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I mean, you know, I just never really struck me to do that.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite character?
From Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah, Star Wars.
I would have to say Vader.
Darth Vader.
He's the most interesting.
Okay. Not like Yoda.
Makes sense.
Baby Yoda.
No. I mean, you know, no.
Luke Skywalker.
He's a little whiny. But Vader has got, you know, he's twisted. He's complex.
Look at that.
A lot going on there.
Yeah, just like you. Twisted and complex. That's the two of the adjectives I would use to describe you as well, Eddie Scazzeri. All right. I did see the picture that Gunner posted today,
yeah,
where he's got Blinky, the Jack Russell Terrier, in the Princess Leia outfit.
Speaking of twisted and complex.
And he is R2-D2, or maybe, who's the other one? Who's the big gold one?
C-3PO.
He's 3CPO.
Right.
I think Darcy,
C-3PO.
Whatever. And Darcy is Vader.
Oh, she is. That's right. Darcy. Vader, that's what they call her.
All right, so she's Darth Vader.
Yes.
He's 3CPO.
C-3PO.
C-3PO, and Blinky is Princess Leia. Is Blinky a male or female dog?
Blinky is a female.
Okay, so he's got the, she's got the things on the side.
We can't wait to see what Blitzen wears.
Oh, my
Blitzen
goodness.
Blitzen is a male dog.
Yeah,
Blitzen. With a human face.
The Vishla. Yeah, the Vishla with the human face.
Yes.
Must have cost a lot of money to get that dog with that human face. All right, so Jerry Recco is here with his update on this May the 4th. What's going on, Jerry?
All right, guys, good morning. Brought to you by Flag and Anthem Spring Clothing Collection. Visit flagandanthem.com. We're going to start with the good because there's a lot of bad this morning, and the good would be your New York Knickerbockers.
Randle falling away. Baseline jumper's good. Julius Randle with a 20-point game, and this is the largest lead of the night.
Isolating along the baseline was Randle.
That was Breeden Clyde on MSG. At that point, they were up 15. I think it was 95-80 with that Randle hoop. He had 28 on the night. Knicks beat the Grizzlies in Memphis 118-104. 25 for Derrick Rose. Taj Gibson, 12 rebounds, 5 blocked shots. Here was Rose on MSG. He has really found his game again.
Just a lot of hard work after COVID, just getting my conditioning back and just trusting in my routine and my game. And like I said, I wouldn't be doing this if my teammates didn't allow me to play the way that I play.
Of which he gave a lot of credit to Coach Tibbs for allowing him to play his game. Here was Thibodeau. Great effort. Second night of a back-to-back on the road.
You've got to bring the energy.
and the commitment to win. And so I thought our guys were excellent in terms of preparation.
And their commitment to win never wavered. They have won a lot lately, 12 of 13. They are 37-28. They clinch a winning record for the first time in 8 years. So pretty impressive there. They are off today. They will be in Denver tomorrow to take on the Nuggets. You've got the Nets in Milwaukee tonight on the Fan at 7:15. Nick, still, I think it's a game and a half clear of Atlanta, if I'm correct with that, as I take a quick little gander of the NBA standings. They are...
Yes, just Google it.
I did. A game and a half clear last night.
Two and a loss.
Yes, absolutely. Last night, the Hawks did beat the Blazers, a former Nick doing in Portland.
Kevin Huerter brings it across now. 10 minutes to go in the game. Kevin out on the left wing. In the middle he goes. Danilo Gallinari for a three. Bang! Gallo knocks down a long straightaway three. He's got 22, and the Hawks lead 111-97.
He finished with 28. He hit 7 threes on the night. Gallinari pretty impressive as the Hawks wound up winning 123-114. Also of note from around the league, the Sixers beat the Bulls 106-94. Philly a full game up on Brooklyn for the top spot in the East. The Lakers defeated the Nuggets 93-89. Jazz over the Spurs 110-99. And Russell Westbrook had a heck of a night. 14 points, 21 boards, 24 assists. Wizards beat the Pacers 154-141. Dave Gettleman was on with Moose and Maggie on the Fan yesterday, and the Magster did ask him about that whole thing that went down with the Eagles and the Cowboys and Devontae Smith and the Giants being interested.
Did the Cowboys call you, or did you call the Cowboys? Were you involved in that at all to try to get up to 10 to make sure that the Eagles couldn't get to 10 and take that wide receiver?
No.
Why? Why didn't you call them?
Because I was happy with where we were at. And we had other options.
There you go. Asked and answered.
Yeah, I did they ask? I'm sorry. I'm doing the classic boomer thing. Jerry, did they ask? Could you sift through the entire interview about young Joker?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know because Joe Judge was on with Evan and Craig. I don't know if they asked either.
Okay,
I am not sure. So I can sift through the 25 minutes for you coming up for next hour, but as of now, I don't know.
You don't have to.
No, it doesn't matter. I will do that because you guys have Joe Douglas coming. Joe Douglas coming on.
Joe Juggles.
At nine? No, I didn't call him Joe Juggles or Jiggles. I did nothing like that. Joe Douglas.
Douglas, yes.
9:10 with you guys this morning, and also everybody is safe and sound out west. Just in case anybody was curious. Because last week, Kyle Shanahan said he wasn't sure if everybody would be alive on Sunday. Several members of the Niners did call and text him Sunday morning to let him know that they woke up.
All right, good.
And that they are okay. Awesome. So that is good. Mets, so this is interesting. I put together this little sequence because you brought up Pilar's non-catch in the outfield. You've got the foul tip that wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Here is where things went bad for the Mets last night in a little 25-second montage.
Schmidt lines towards center, hangs a bit, coming in Pilar, leaching forward, and Pilar dropped the ball at the last moment. He just couldn't hang on. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss and a ball in the dirt, strike three. Arenado says he fouled it, and now the home plate umpire, Mark Carlson, agrees that it's a foul ball. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a long fly deep to left field, way back. Schmidt goes to the wall, it's gone.
And that, turn out the lights. Not really, but pretty close.
What a terrible night for the Mets. And on top of it, we're still in the midst of the Great Depression. Just horrendous.
Yeah, no, that was really bad.
It was bad. Yeah.
But it's early in the game. I'm thinking, like, okay, you know, they scored some runs.
Yeah.
Starting to hit a little bit. I mean, maybe this is like a 12-9 victory.
No, that was it.
Yeah. That was the end of it.
Tyler O'Neill, the RBI double, and that was it. 6-5.
Well, the amazing thing was that they had men on base all freaking night long, and are you saying, just could not get a hit.
Are you saying the Mets didn't hit with Risp?
Right.
Yeah.
Shocking. They lost 6-5.
Running the big quat. That's why he's here.
Yes, the big quat. Hugh Quattlebaum. Is the new Mets hitting. If I would have told you, all jokes aside, if I would have told you, what's that fake guy? What's his name? Stevenson?
Yeah, Donnie Stevenson.
If I would have told you last Friday that the Mets are going to have a new hitting coach, his name's going to be Donnie Stevenson or Hugh Quattlebaum.
Yeah, I know.
Which is the made-up name?
Of course, it's the big quatter. I said that earlier, that it's amazing that the fake hitting coach has got a more normal name than the real hitting coach.
My goodness.
But let's see if he makes a difference. Who the hell knows?
We will see. He is the minor league director of hitting development. He has been promoted because the Mets fired Chili Davis and assistant coach Tom Slater after this game.
And Jerry, I think you missed this earlier when I said Hugh Quattlebaum, his avatar on his Twitter account, this is not a joke, is Robinson Cano. In a Mariners uniform. Yeah.
Well,
can't
win them all.
Might want to change that, Quat.
That is true.
Yeah.
So the Mets fall to 11-12. Here's Luis Rojas. He knows that his guy, Joey, what's wrong with me today? Joey Lucchesi almost escaped that third inning, but he didn't.
After the two outs, just couldn't put guys away. And that's what led to the beginning of it.
Here is Lucchesi. That foul tip really screwed me.
When they said it was a foul tip, I just told myself to stay locked in, and then I was trying to go up and away, and through to middle and got hurt.
You know what it is, too, Boomer? Watching the game, it's kind of like Craig Kimbrell. Like, if you're going to have that funky, ridiculous motion, you better be good.
Yeah, because you just look like a clown.
Yes. It looks terrible when you go through all this, and then you can't get anybody out.
Yeah. It was almost like batting practice.
Yeah, it sure was. It's exactly what it seemed like. Now, the good would be Pete Alonso in 3-for-4 and Kevin Pillar homered, but that's pretty much it. Tonight, Jacob deGrom takes on Johan Oviedo. Also interesting, because I know Al likes these names, on this day in 1991, how about this? Mackie Sasser and Mark Carrion. Remember those two guys?
Of course. Yeah, I do, man. Early 90s.
Became just the eighth pair to hit consecutive pinch hit home runs. How about that? So that's, what's the year? 21-9. That's 30 years ago.
That's another thing. The Mets have a problem with pinch hitting.
Don't do that well either, do they?
No.
Well, maybe Mackie Sasser or Mark Carrion are available they did it well.
Remember he lost his mind, couldn't get the ball back to the pitcher like me?
Tap his glove and then throw the lollipop back to the pitcher's mound.
Gets in your head, man. I felt for him then. I feel for him now. Think about that.
Yankees home for the Astros tonight. Should hear a lot of boos, as you can imagine. Domingo Germán, Zach Greinke are the starters. Full coverage of the game on Sports Radio 66 WFAN AM. The Phillies did beat the Brewers 4-3. The A's over the Blue Jays 5-4. All right, to this mess last night with the Rangers and Capitals.
Now Wilson's throwing punches.
He went after Nick Buchnevich.
This is ridiculous.
Panarin.
What is Wilson doing?
Acting like a jackass. That's what he is doing. Sam Rosen, Joe Micheletti on MSG. Tom Wilson was given a game misconduct and more penalty minutes.
It wasn't a game misconduct, was it?
Yeah. He was given a 10-minute game misconduct, I believe.
Not a game misconduct, the 10-minute misconduct.
Oh, I thought he was kicked out of the game.
No.
Oh, no, because he had the empty net goal. That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. That's right. My bad. So anyway, he punched Pavel Buchnevich on the side of the head as he's down on the ice. He then pulled Artemi Panarin by the hair, and he hit him too as well. Panarin did leave the game. I don't know if it was related, but a lower body injury. And so the whole thing was just a mess.
You know what? If I were Morgan Barron, what I would do in the offseason, I would get into the weight room. I'd go to a boxing gym, and I'd learn how to box. I'd lift weights, and I'd become Tom Wilson. Not be like him, but be the guy that the Rangers don't have.
But not dirty.
No, yeah, but I mean, he's big enough, and he's strong enough, and you know, he's a good enough skater where I think that, you know, if he took that upon himself to say, hey, I'm going to come back next year, I'm going to start knocking the crap out of people, he'd find himself a job.
Well, here was David Quinn. He says simply no excuse for play like this.
Yeah, well, we all saw it, and there are lines that can't be crossed in this game, and it's just, to me, it's just zero respect for the game in general. And, you know, you got one of the star players in this league now who could have got seriously, seriously hurt in that incident.
Mm-hmm. And here was Mika Zibanejad again with the reaction.
Mike Zibanejad.
Him too.
I don't know. I figured you should have some more respect for the game and for the players. And I don't honestly know where to start.
There's really no place to start. You don't do it. And oh, by the way, the Rangers were eliminated from the postseason. David Quinn.
Just another level of disappointment, really. And, just didn't get enough done this year. Had some great moments and great stretches, but just wasn't enough.
A very strange season for the Rangers. Very odd. So they lose 6-3. Bruins shut out the Devils 3-0. Hasn't been a strange season for the Devils. They've been terrible. And the Islanders did lose to the Sabres last night 4-2.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Other former quarterbacks taking your lead, coming out and trashing Aaron Rodgers for the way that he is acting with the Green Bay Packers.
I wouldn't say that I trashed him. I just said that, number one, I said he should be the host of Jeopardy because I thought he did a great job and the ratings prove that. And number two, I did say that I don't know what he's bitching and complaining about. He's got a good team.
Okay, I'll rephrase that. Other quarterbacks, also former NFL quarterbacks, being highly critical of the way that Aaron Rodgers is acting right now in regards to his situation with the Green Bay Packers. Terry Bradshaw indeed did trash Aaron Rodgers when he said he's dumber than a box of rocks with the way that he has handled this. Now, Terry Bradshaw is someone who they've gone after him and his intelligence and his playing career. Couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the T.
Yeah, I don't see Terry ever hosting Jeopardy.
No, that's probably not going to happen. They're not going to. By the way, the more I thought about this, Jeopardy's not hiring Aaron Rodgers.
Why
to
wouldn't
do it.
They?
Because I just don't think that they would.
I think there's the ratings, man, were off the charts when he was on there.
But is that a novelty situation?
I thought he was good. I thought he was really good, and I thought he had a nice tone, and I thought he actually showed a sense of humor, and I know that he loves the show. I don't know about the other people and whether or not they love the show as much as he loved the show. That's the thing. Like, you could hire – I would like to see Keegan-Michael Key. I'd love to see him host it.
He's great. He's one of the funniest guys on earth.
Exactly, and I think he would be great doing it. I don't know if they would want him long-term, and I don't know if he would want it long-term. But Aaron Rodgers loves Jeopardy.
Okay.
I mean, he is an all-in Jeopardy guy and showed the total respect that you would expect from somebody who appreciated Alex Trebek in the show. So, and I thought he was really good at it. I don't like what he's doing to Green Bay. I know he wants a new contract. I know he wants more guaranteed money. And he's coming off of one of his best seasons, and he's got a good team around him. There's really nothing to be bitching about in Green Bay, other than the fact they drafted Jordan Love.
No, it was last year, and he went out and won the MVP this year.
Right.
So guess what? It worked.
So if he is so worried about Jordan Love taking his job, which this must be about, then how insecure is he?
I think it's about two things. It's about not adding to his offense in the with a first pick in the draft last year. And I think it's about not ripping up his contract and paying him more than Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo and whomever else.
I also understand that, you know, you need a defense in order to win, as Tampa Bay proved against Kansas City this year. As every team in the Super Bowl ends up proving, eventually defense is going to win the game for you somewhere along the line. And I think that, you know, by bringing in Matt LaFleur up in Green Bay, they gave Aaron everything he needed from an offensive standpoint. They gave him an offensive coach. He's got an all-pro wide receiver. He's got an all-pro running back. He's got an all-pro left tackle. And he himself is all-pro and MVP. Name me another team that has four all-pros on one side of the ball.
There aren't a lot.
So I don't know what he's bitching about. Plus, he's also got a bunch of really good young defensive players over there. They brought in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith to shore up the defense. And that's one of the reasons why they have one of the best teams, because their front office knows what they're doing.
Do you see that Ian Rappaport tweet going back to that draft last year and how they said that the Justin Jefferson selection by the Vikings was the thing that changed everything for the Packers in selecting Jordan Love, and how they really weren't going into it doing that? I mean, to me, this was like damage control type stuff, where the Packers wanted this stuff out there publicly to say, hey, it's just really the way that the draft shook out. It had nothing really to do.
I guess Dave Gettleman could have said that too. The draft shook out a way for him to be able to trade out, fleece another team in the Chicago Bears, and still get a wide receiver of significance.
Yeah, that is true. So this is the Ian Rappaport tweet. The draft is the ultimate what if. In 2020, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst targeted a wide receiver. He tried to trade up for LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson, only to see Minnesota take him. He watched a 49ers trade up for Brandon Ayuk, another target. Then Green Bay moved up to select Jordan Love. So, I mean, this to me is a Packers source that's like, hey, man, we tried to get a wide receiver. We really were thinking about that to help out Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, it didn't work out. So we're like, oh, Jordan Love's slipping, so let's just find a, you know, Aaron Rodgers is in his late 30s. Let's find a replacement for him at
some
point down
the road. Well, eventually you're going to have to find a replacement, but as long as the guy can continue to play, then you continue to pay him. And he played at a very, very high level, maybe the highest level he's ever played at. I understand that he wants more money and he wants more guaranteed money. That's what this is all about.
This obviously has affected him, though, this Jordan Love thing.
So maybe he sees Jordan Love in practice and says, wow, maybe this guy is pretty good. Maybe he is going to take my job, and maybe I need to get out of here.
I don't even think it was a backup last year, though, Jordan Love.
Yeah, but, you can tell in practice whether or not a kid can play, but it sounds to me like this guy wants money, and he wants a lot of guaranteed money.
When did he sign his last contract? Was it like 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
All right, well, if it's 3-4 years ago and he sees all these other guys making more money than him and he's doing what he's doing, won the MVP, I mean, I guess I can understand that.
Yep.
So if it's about money, then it's about money.
It's always about money. I don't care what you say. So let's see. Aaron Rodgers signed a 4-year, $134 million contract with the Green Bay Packers, including $57.5 million signing bonus, which is why if he doesn't come back and play for them this year, he's got to pay some of that back. He had $98.7 million of that money guaranteed at an average annual salary of $33.5 million. Now, in 2021,
when did he sign it, though?
Well, in 2021, Rodgers will earn a base salary of $14.7 million, a roster bonus, which they already gave him, of $6.8 million, and a workout bonus of $500,000 and an incentive bonus of $850,000. While carrying a cap hit of $37 million. So he basically has a potential out after this year. Kind of like Russell Wilson next year.
Yeah.
Remember when Russell Wilson was chirping about this, that, and the other thing? This is all about, you know, this approaching this potential out and getting an extension.
What year did he sign the contract?
He signed a contract in 2018.
Okay. So?
So he has this four-year deal
mm-hmm.
that comes up at the end of this year if he wants out.
Yeah, so
and if he doesn't want out, then there's two more years left on the deal. But the salary cap, dead cap hit goes down. The cap hit for the Packers this year is $38 million.
So why don't the Packers give him more money and extend him? Why wouldn't they? The way he's played. at what you're seeing from older quarterbacks these days. Why wouldn't you? You have no idea what Jordan Love's going to be. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, is ahead of where Brett Favre was at this point in his career, even though he came back at that great season with Minnesota. But
they,
still,
they also could be running into the same thing that they ran into with Brett Favre. Brett Favre didn't want to come back for summer workouts and all that other stuff. Now, I don't know what the workout situation is going to be for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with the way that the union is handling this and telling their players to stay away, maybe that's a good excuse for Aaron not to be there. I don't know. But you remember, Brett Favre didn't want to be there, and Aaron was there.
Well, but he,
and they felt like they had to give Aaron an opportunity, and they saw in practice that he could handle it.
But if you remember, he did want to be there, and he retired, and then he decided he wanted to come back, and the Packers said no. And that's when it was like, all right, you got to trade me then. That was that whole thing. He had retired, and then he decided, you know what, I don't think I want to retire. I'm going to come back. And then it just became a big, messy situation. Now, that last year, 2007, Favre with the Packers, I mean, they were 13-3. So, I mean,
it's like the same thing happening all over again.
I know. Except that there's no threat of retirement.
Yeah, and Brett Favre was not going to get Jeopardy.
Isn't that true? That is also true. I don't know. I don't see them hiring Aaron Rodgers. I really don't.
Jeopardy?
Yeah, Jeopardy. They're going to go with somebody who's got a longer history of hosting and TV and who's going to be there for the rest of their life. He did a nice job. He did pay homage to the great Alex Trebek. I understand.
Ratings.
Yeah, but that's going to wear off, though. People tuned in to see Aaron Rodgers do it for a couple weeks.
Especially if he continues to play and do that as well. For the first 3 or 4 years, he can do them.
I don't see it. If you're the team that is employing Aaron Rodgers and you're paying him that type of money, you want him distracted with Jeopardy?
You can't tell him not to.
Sure you could.
No, you couldn't.
If you're signing him to a new contract, you say, I'm only signing you a new contract.
Well, Jeopardy could also make an exception, say, okay, we're going to shoot these shows in the off season.
You really think he's going to get Jeopardy?
I personally, with the ratings the way it was and the way that he acted, I would say he's got as good a chance as anybody.
You think he's the favorite?
I'm telling you, out of all the people that I've seen do this.
Yeah, but you were into the whole idea of him doing it. You went in wanting him to do well.
Yeah, I wanted him to do well. And not only did he do well, I thought he did great.
Are there odds on that? See who the favorite is?
I bet you there are.
Next Jeopardy host. All right, there we go. Let's see. All right.
Ken Jennings is a stiff.
Odd shark.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm seeing Alex Faust. Who's that?
Is he the producer?
He might have been, yeah. Plus 1,200. Why can't I get to the rest of this? Anderson Cooper plus 1,500.
Ugh.
Let me go to the full site. Mayim Bialik plus 1,400. Laura Coates plus 1,200.
No.
Updated odds. Sports betting dime. Let's see what they have.
Give it to Keegan Michael Key. I want to see him do it.
All right, here we go. This is a little bit better. Here we go.
Yes.
All right. LeVar Burton is the favorite.
Really?
At plus 150. Ken Jennings is the second favorite. Plus 250. Aaron Rodgers is third. Plus 500. And then it goes Mike Richards, Alex Faust, Mayim Bialik, Anderson Cooper, Bill Whitaker, Sanjay Gupta, and Savannah Guthrie. That's as of April 26th. What is the fart noise for?
There's only one right now on that list that makes anybody like want to tune in and watch it. Are you going to watch it anyway because you love the show?
Well, that's the thing.
But there's one guy that everybody would tune in to watch, and that's Aaron Rodgers.
Don't you think the novelty wears off, though, for a while and still all about the show?
Especially if he's playing.
But he's not going to do anything on the show that's going to be that exciting, just reading questions.
Yeah, but he'll have interactions with people. There'll be a Vikings fan. There'll be a Bears fan. There'll be a Jets fan. You'll have all the sorts of interaction. You'll have more eyeballs now come to the show because Aaron Rodgers is doing it. I'm telling you. He's...
Have you seen LeVar Burton do it?
I haven't seen LeVar. I haven't.
I have not seen that yet.
I could see him being good at it.
Is he the favorite because he's done a couple shows? I haven't.
I don't know.
And was he great at it? That would have been interesting to see. Because I have I don't know. I just have a tough time thinking that.
See, the thing about it is that it's a very short time period that you have to do this. It's not an everyday thing like we have. Like you and I have to show up every day here.
Yep.
Right? So he doesn't have to show up all that much.
I get it, but this is why I don't care.
And get paid a lot more than we do.
Yeah.
I mean like 30 times more than we do.
It's just there's sometimes though when I hear you say the stuff that you say about being an all-in guy.
Yes. Well, he's at the end of his career.
Isn't that when you need to be even more all-in?
Well, he was all-in last year, and I think
Would Tom Brady ever do something like this?
Tom Brady.
No. Of course he wouldn't. Wouldn't have enough time.
Would Tom Brady do Jeopardy?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Would he ever? That's my point. Can't. When I said do something like this, I meant Jeopardy. He wouldn't. He never would.
Yeah, well, there's two different personalities. And the one thing about Aaron Rodgers, more than anybody else in this league, he's about as quirky as they come.
If you owned a team, would you want your star quarterback? Okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
The Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.